It's all yours.
And welcome, guys. Welcome back to Simply Amazing. How we doing, everybody? Lauren, girl, what's you up to?
Just remembering how much I love Nightcrawler. Yeah. I had fun on Twitter today trying to come up with an X-Men team using like the first letter or each letter of like your favorite X-Men's name. So I did Nightcrawler, of course, and I was like, fuck, this is a huge team. I would pray for any writer trying to write this monstrosity of a team. But thank you to John Klein for posting that shit on Twitter, because that was very fun for me today.
Oh, that sounds like fun. I feel like I would choose a way shorter name, only like just because. Here, you know what I would do? I would do Kurt. Kurt.
Yeah, you can do Kurt.
And it would be, oh, and here, I'm going to do it right now. Kyle, because he might not have powers, but he fucking counts, guys. I will not stand for Kyle Erasure. Never in my life will I ever stand for Kyle Erasure. So my team is now Kyle, you go, girl, Rogue, I guess, Rogue, and T. Trinary.
That's the most random team I've ever heard in my life. And you just did that in like 5 seconds.
I know. And guess what? It's called Kyle and the Girls.
That's wild. I love it, though. I approve. Approved. Gavel.
It even has a theme song. Kyle and the Girls playing around and having fun. I actually totally stole that from BoJack Horseman. Anyway, guys, hi. We're welcoming you back. We're here. We're going to talk about X-Men 97. We're going to talk about tons of stuff. You know, and yeah, I'm Lisa, the OG Nocturne. And of course, sitting in what looks like a very comfortable couch. Very comfortable.
Yeah, I hope it is. I paid too much money for it. It better be.
Well, you're the one sitting in. I mean, I can't tell you. So yeah, of course. But yeah. Lauren's looking good. Lauren is relaxed, and we are ready to talk.
I got my heating pad wrap around my neck and shoulders. It's amazing because I'm old. I need to de-stress, guys. I have the stress of everything and everyone.
Well, let me tell you, me and Lauren both are speed running to become Golden Girls, so we're holding applications for...
We are! Oh my god, so, we gotta do a Golden Girls episode. We're holding applications
for two more girls. I'm the Blanche. Lauren, I guess, what are you, the Dorothy?
What the fuck? I want to be Blanche. Ugh,
oh, okay. You are officially out of my Golden Girls house, guys. This is it. I'm done. All right, enough. Moving on. Thanks for joining us anyway.
That's two Golden Girls houses. See, here's my problem. I am Dorothy at times. I'm also Blanche at times.
Yeah, true.
You know what? I'm going to be the mom that just makes fun of everyone. I aspire to be that. I'm not that yet, but maybe I just need to start early.
Sophia is a good one. Sophia, I could see you as the Sophia. I could totally see you. But you know what we could also do? We could also just trade. I'll be a Blanche one day, and then you're a Dorothy, and the next day I'm the Dorothy, and you're the Blanche, and we just go around. I'm sold.
Done. Yeah. Approved.
It's round robin. Round robin, Golden Girls house, hiring, looking for two women, or I don't care. I mean, you know, whoever wants to come join our Golden Girls house, we'll even take some straight men. You can be our Stans and Miles. So, whatever. I was gonna
say, as long as you're okay being part of the Golden Girls household, we are not changing it. We're not changing it from the Golden Girls.
No, the only way it will be changed will be the Golden Palace, but that's a long story. Anyway, we have gone so far off the rails and it's only 5 minutes in. We want to talk this week about X-Men 97. But specifically, we want to talk about what do we want to come out of X-Men 97. And I was inspired to do this by a little Twitter thread I made about my finding Easter eggs in for Exiles in X-Men 97, and you know, hoping and praying and wishing and hoping, and that possibly Exiles might come of it. So yeah, what do you think, Lauren?
Well, one of the things I wanted already happened, thank God, which is, I mean, it came at a cost. Let's be real. It came at a cost, okay? We cannot deny the cost. However, we got Nightcrawler, Kurt, in the title credits. He is officially an X-Men in the 90s era. God fucking bless. Maybe we'll get some more 90s current merch now. Just more Nightcrawler merch in general. Like, please. Because I understand that what happened in the 90s is what happened in the 90s, obviously. And I'm not saying that him being a part of Excalibur is something that shouldn't have happened or wasn't good or what have you. I am saying that because Kurt was not on the X-Men in the comics in the 90s, and he wasn't part of the show back then, we didn't get shit in terms of merch and more appearances from him and more recognition outside of if you read Excalibur. You know what I mean? So I'm super stoked about that. And I haven't even gotten to what I want to happen yet, but that's one thing checked off the list. Sorry to the Gambit and Magneto stands that are crying in the club still, because it came at your cost. I do want to say thank you for your service. Thank you for your sacrifice. We will not forget them. Depending on when or if they ever come back. Who knows?
I don't believe. I still don't believe that Magneto's dead. I know that like Beau DeMaio came out and said that Magneto's dead. But let me tell you, that boy's been saying a lot of stuff on Twitter. So,
Fired. And we still don't know why. So, like,
I mean, we don't know why, but I could see why.
Oof, we might have to do another episode on that. You have more thoughts than I do on that one.
Well, no, here's the thing. I have a lot of thoughts, but none of it is substantiated. So there's no reason to even talk about it, right? Like, I mean, I'm not here to spread rumors or anything. I just, you know, I've been slightly turned off by his online persona on Twitter. It's for me, what the straw that broke the camel's back for me was the him posting about passing the baton to Ryan Reynolds. And I'm just like, I'm sorry, you're passing the baton to the guy who's making X-Men movies for 10 years? Do you know how batons work? I'm just... Anyway, but I don't want to get into all that. That's kind of negative. And we're not negative. We're positive. We're simply amazing. And I mean, obviously, because Nightcrawler was on Excalibur, we didn't get him in the original series, except for the little bits and pieces we did get. I really appreciate that they haven't like let go of all that. They didn't just wash the floor of it and say whatever. Like Remy even makes the comment in the episode, about like, oh, you're evil nuns, like in the out or not evil, the evil monks, which you know, I appreciate that they're keeping the canon, but now that we're on the topic of Remy, in the most recent episode, which we won't talk too much about that. I mean, we can touch on it. I'm just gonna say right here that Charles Xavier did me no favors in this entire episode. It was like, dude, I mean, so basically he left for cigarettes and then didn't come back because he met his alien queen. And then like, you know, while he was out buying cigarettes, his kids get genocided. Charles, you're a bad dad. You're a bad parent. Just, you know, oh, my children.
He's also a bad husband. I'm going to leave my husband because we're fighting and I'm not having fun. And then he goes and meets Lilandra and is like, great, I'm going to have a new wife and I'm going to keep my husband over there. He's good. But then he hears, oh my God, stuff happened. Let me go back. And he's going to find out his husband is dead, or at least to our knowledge, dead.
Can I tell you right now, Charles Xavier is a terrible everything, because I'm going to start listing stuff off. Teacher, shit. Father, shit. Husband, shit. Brother? Excuse me. If you're Charles Xavier's sibling, raise your hand. Oh, Juggernaut and Cassandra Nova. Literally, he is the worst at everything. So there you go. But that's our Charles Xavier rant for today.
The scene where the classroom came up in episode 6. I was like, the second that happened, because I think the line before he did that was something like, I've forgotten what like my greatest power is or whatever. And then he puts him on the astral plane and clash. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, and this is as a former teacher. Okay. I love teaching. I miss it. I still am all about education and helping people grow and mentoring, especially kids. But dude, I saw that. I was like, this is the most pretentious shit I have seen yet from Charles. And that's saying a lot.
Yeah, I agree. And so for me, it was like, I understand, like the Shi'ar are like, they're an imperial, like kind of very violent people, whatever. But they are also like a different race of people, a different type of people that Charles Xavier did not grow up around or understand. And I like for that whole classroom scene for me was like, if this was him, like, with a bunch of African-American students, and he was just like, okay, sit down, I'm going to tell you how to live your life, we would all be like, what the fuck? So for me, it was like, but again, I'm a white bitch. So, you know, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I'm happy to take it. But it, for me, that was what felt off to me, was like, oh, so you're going to come, you're just going to show up and tell all these people who have been having their own society for millennia how they have to fucking work now, Charles Xavier? Uh-uh, I don't like that. So I didn't like that. Deathbird was fucking awesome. Deathbird was like, yeah, I stan her. I stan her like 100%. But yeah, you know what it also reminded me of? I literally just today was listening to the, there's a new podcast coming out about a British family who bought an island off the coast of Nicaragua and then found out that like the natives on the island were pissed off they were there and like started being violent and rude to them. And all I can think of listening to that is like, what the fuck are you doing buying a random island off the coast of Nicaragua? Like people live there. If people live there, it's not for sale, bitch. If people live there, it's not for sale. So I had the same feeling when I listened to that I did with the Charles Xavier thing. It's just like, oh my God, stop pretending like you know everything. You don't. So anyway.
Yeah, but that's very much Charles. I agree. The only other thing I'll add with the whole Cher storyline, even though I could talk even more about that, is I love Lilandra. Like that, I've always loved her. And I lost it at the line where he said something to her, and Charles said something to her along the lines of, oh, well, you know, am I your, you know, something about being her pet and blah, blah, blah. And she just said, you can bark later. And I was like, if you thought this was a kid's show for some crazy reason, you watched all the episodes before this and still thought that, that had to be thrown out the window the second you heard that. It had to be out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is definitely not a kid's show. It definitely has its moments. The only thing I will say is, like, I appreciate that this episode gave us, like, a beat between all, like I'm, even though I would love to see Kurt again, and I'd love to see all, the, I'd love to see more of what happened with Genosha and the fallout from that, I kind of love that we got this beat where we got to, you know, to, like, breathe and, like, take a moment to, like, come back from all the Genosha stuff so we can, like, have, like, we can get Storm back, which was another great story that I loved, and, you know, have this stuff with Xavier. You know, but we didn't have to immediately go into like the horrors of what just happened in Genosha. So that felt good. I want to point out though, bringing up Remy and talking about things, and just this is in the vein of, you know, what do we want to see coming forward? So it looks like they're going to do Milligan's. Was it Milligan? Oh my God. When Remy was Death in Apocalypse, guys, like I am shocked that they're going to go this way. The only reason I'm saying that is because when it comes to like the worst stories of the 2000s, the Draco is always going to be number one. But like Gambit as Death is really not that far behind. It was so bad. So I'm like, I'm really curious as to what they're going to do with it. And that's, but also what that says to me is like, is the Draco on the table? Like, if we're willing to tell that kind of story, you know, so I'm so curious.
So wait, what is that story? Because I don't know that. Like a lot of my I have a huge gap in a lot of X-Men lore from like the 2000s. It's like, yum. So Gambit being Death or something, is that what you said?
Okay, yes. So I'm looking it up because I read it when it first came out, but I very much put it out of my mind because it's bad. I forget how he dies. It's actually very similar. The story is a little bit similar in that I remember around the time that he dies before he becomes Death, he and Rogue are having an issue where it's like they're on the outs at that point. And was it when she left him in the Savage Land or something? There's some like she leaves him. I think maybe, I don't remember, but like there is a time where she does leave him in like the Serbia or the somewhere. She leaves him somewhere like and to die basically. But I don't remember if that's what led to him becoming Death. But I should have looked up more about this, but I honestly have the issues upstairs. I could go dig them out, but like I literally never ever ever want to read it again cuz it was that bad. And here, Lauren, I'm just going to show you a picture of what he looked like as Death, and you tell me what you think about this. Here, I'll put it in Discord because it's a little bit easier. But
all right, Beth. So wait, So why, I must have missed this part, why do you think they're going to make him deaf? Because we haven't seen him since he was kaboomed.
Well, we did see him at the very, very end. We saw him in Xavier's, like, Xavier was in the astral plane and he had that, like, that vision of, you know, he had that vision of Gambit with, like the death mask on, which doesn't match Gambit's death look, which honestly, if they don't go with Gambit's death look, I'll be really freaking happy, because it, and as far as I remember, his power had something to do with gases. Like, I remember there being a joke about his power being farts, because it had something to do with gases. It was so,
I see the picture, and yeah, it's a pretty hefty look, particularly for Gambit. I mean, they went all out, but I don't know, like, I think maybe, like, that could have been a reference, like, in a way to this death thing you're talking about with him, the storyline. I don't think they're going to, I don't know, because I'm confused too. So the original showrunner said that Magneto is dead officially. Like, he's claiming Magneto is officially dead, even though that could still change in season two because he's been kicked out by Disney. So, but Gambit, he hasn't said anything about Gambit's death, like if he's fully dead or not.
Yeah, well, it's interesting here. I'm reading about what happened. So Gambit actually didn't die to become death. Gambit turned himself over to Apocalypse purposefully because he thought Apocalypse was going to help the mutants. And, like, I can't believe I'm reading this. So many memories are coming back, because yes, Sunfire was also a horseman, and it was Sunfire, Polaris, Gambit. I think the fourth one was just like a rando. I don't think it was a specific character, but I'm trying to look and see who it might have been. But it was bad. It was just bad. So, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I can appreciate the whole, again, this is part of what would make it more of an adult show as well if they went this route. Or make it more significant, I guess, is, you know, even in an animated show, making death be very real and poignant in terms of, like, if a death happens, you're fucking dead, pending any specific things. But again, I think the door is open regarding time travel, even if it's not this season, future seasons, they can always bring people back. So, you know, even though things can be more significant, there's always the whole, remember, this is an X-Men show. Like, they can do whatever the hell they want, and they will, even if it means getting the person, not getting that exact person back, but getting a version of them back. Again, we could end up in Krakoa one day and everybody's coming out of eggs left and right again. So,
well, so, you know, you mentioned about, you know, like time travel and stuff, and I'm going to go ahead and take it a step further. And I'm going to talk about multiverse travel. Because I feel like there is a non-zero chance that we could see the Exiles spin out of this.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun. I think this show and another spinoff show or two of it, like a New Mutant show or whatever, like another, or an X-Force, I don't fucking know, another X-Men team that has some name recognition, at least to the general public already. I'm sorry, Exiles, I hope you get there one day. Maybe you could with the show. But yeah, I think they have to do that first. And then if a spinoff is a first spinoff or two successful, then Exiles is on the table because they feel more comfortable doing something a little more challenging creatively in terms of, you know, general audiences are going to know that fucking name.
But here's where I kind of disagree as far as I think Exiles is a much easier show for them to pull off because there's so little canon they actually have to abide by. Like, the character, this is what made Exiles so good when it first came out, was, like, granted, if you're going to use the same characters, you need to at least abide by some of the rules of those characters, but still, a lot of these characters are pretty fresh, and there's, like, even though they've been around for over 20 years now, they're still pretty underutilized. So there's a lot they could do with them, and it's a great way to tell stories that you otherwise would never be able to tell. I mean, we see that with What If, which I actually haven't watched What If, but I mean, I probably should. I just don't care about MCU stuff unless it's X-Men anymore, so sorry about it. Or Thor. I do love Thor. But I think, like, there's so many different ways they can play with it, and it's also a tested model. Like, it's not like the idea of sliding into other realities or places. Like this is this has been done over and over in sci-fi. So it's a common trope that can be that is familiar. Using and the beauty of also of Exiles is even though the characters are not like X-Men that we know, they're not unfamiliar either. Like they still tie in. And really the thing about Exiles was the story was about the characters in it, but it was also about all these different adventures they ran into. And that was what made it so cool. I would love to see that, but I totally agree that there should be, you know, they should really consider, I would love to see them do the cartoons like they do the comics. You have, you know, you have your main X-Men cartoon where we have some of like the big stories happen in the main X-Men cartoon. They fight the big bads in the main X-Men cartoon. Then you have a New Mutants cartoon that deals a little bit more with like the idea of younger students, younger mutants who are coming up and like learning about their powers, and maybe you have the school involved there and stuff like that. And then you have, you know, an X-Force cartoon that's all about, you know, like the badasses who go out and do all the dirty work that, you know, they don't want the X-Men to do. So yeah, the possibilities are endless. And I just really hope they keep going. And you know what, while you're at it, guys, can you give us another season of MODOK? Because that is so good. I actually, after this, I'm going to rewatch it. Give us more MODOK.
Yeah, I completely agree with Exiles. I think there's a lot of ways it would work and work well and give them a lot of creative freedom and make a really fun product that is familiar enough to audiences once they do give it a shot. But it's fresh enough that, like you say, you can do so much. So no, I would love to see Exiles. That's the thing with X-Men. The X-Men really are their own universe. So anytime I see somebody saying that the X-Men are going to be, this X-Men animated verse is going to be put into the MCU, I'm like, don't you fucking dare. You need to create a separate universe. You need an X-Men animated verse. As I just said, like whatever the fuck you want to call it, is the animated X-Men universe. Not even the full Marvel one, because again, the scope of the X-Men, you could do at least 20 spinoff shows of the X-Men and they all be valid in terms of like actual X-Men teams, different names, like they have some recognition. Not all of them would do great with general audiences, I'm sure, but like you could do that. So if you could technically do at least 20, you can for sure do 5 to 10 fucking spinoffs with just the X-Men. That's not touching Avengers. That's not touching Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, any other huge Marvel products.
Well, so first of all, I got bad news for you, girl. Don't go looking up what Kevin Feige's been saying lately because...
Yeah, Kevin Feige needs to take a fucking nap.
Yeah, well,
that's the whole problem. He's
talking about bringing it into the MCU. But like, I mean, again, we'll see what happens with that. You know, actually, I want to mention this because they're coming out with a new series of this. And I don't know if it's going... I really don't know what to expect from it. But I do have the original series collected. I would love to see an NYX-esque cartoon. NYX was basically the, like, back when it came out the first time, I don't understand what the new one is going to be, but when it came out the first time, the whole point of NYX was like, these are mutants that are not X-Men and will not be X-Men, and this is how they live and this is how they survive. And then of course X-23 gets introduced and it becomes something else. But I would love something like that too. Like I would love to delve into, like, you know, how does it work for, you know, in this world where anybody can become a mutant, right? How does that work? And how do we deal with it? And what happens to the kids that are kicked out of their homes that don't get picked up by Xavier? You know, like what happens to them? Yeah, I want all of that.
Yeah. See, and that's just another example of how many fucking different things you can do in this X-Men verse. Like, I'm not saying you can't necessarily connect it, but like to the MCU technically, but the connection I think of with this is like the loose connections that like, and that like the Spider-Verse, like Sony animated films have connected to the live action stuff, like those little cameos that show it's connected technically but still its own fucking thing. I'm good with that. I'm fine with making little connections here or there, dropping little cameos here and there, but past that, leave it be. Please, unless you're going to do like a giant crossover. Like, I think I said this on some other episode we did. Like, one thing I love with, and I know it was hard as well for like actual production and writing and actors and things like that. It was very hard for them to do strategically and realistically. But like, you know, having it connect, but you actually have your own separate shows or your own things going on. And then every once in a while, you bring them all together for a crossover and then you move the fuck back on with your lives. You know, and they can be small crossovers. You know, I mean, you don't need to do every single fucking show or movie involved. Of course, that'd be amazing, but it's also a fucking mess. I understand that. It's a nightmare, you know, production wise to do that. But I wish they would consider doing stuff like that, because that actually worked. The Arrowverse worked for DC at the time. And now that got thrown away because WBD is stupid and the CW is stupid. And now that format's just been thrown away with it for some reason. And I don't understand why that was completely abandoned in general, other than possibly the hell it was production wise, but still make it a bit smaller and be smarter about it and it can work. So I would like to see that, honestly. Like, that would be really cool. Like, some little crossovers here and there, but trying to make everything perfectly connect and they're literally around each other all the time. You gotta stop, guys. We're tired. Yeah. We want to have fun. We want some fun cameos. We want like some fun, you know, action all the and that's it. Like, move on.
Well, speaking of fun action, it looks like we get it this week with Rogue, because I saw like a little clip of her just going absolute batshit at like some US base. So I'm all about it. Like, girl,
I did. Wreck them. I did. I wreck was them. Like, girl, she mad as hell. And I was also like, thank God they aren't nerfing her like they did at random points in the original series. Like the episode we did talking about the Nightcrawler appearance in the 90s X-Men show, the original one, and it was just like, what the fuck, you just nerfed her for no reason. So I'm so to glad be honest, nerfed like,
I feel like being nerfed is like part of Rogue's story, because she's always like going back and forth. It's like, she's got Carol's powers, oh my god, no, she lost them now, oh wait, but now she's got someone else's powers, but now she doesn't. It's like back and forth. It's like, girl, like, pick a lane, enough. You know, sometimes she can touch, sometimes she can't. Pick a lane. Anyway, but I actually do love Rogue. I want to put this out there, because someone on Twitter came at me saying that, like, Nightcrawler fans hate Rogue and we ignore Rogue. That is a lie. We love Rogue here.
Who the fuck thinks Nightcrawler fans hate Rogue? These are just people that are uneducated about the family.
First of all, let's not, you know, I don't want to be rude, because I want to bring everybody in. But at the same time, when she said that, I was literally like, I can't even wrap my head around this conversation, because I've just never seen it. So anyway, but you know, you're all welcome at the Nightcrawler table. Okay, guys, everybody is welcome at the Kurt table.
Oh, for sure. I mean, but here's the thing. Everyone is welcome when it comes to an actual like conversation, or you're just complaining and you're like, okay, I just need to get that out, but I'm good. Okay, whatever. We're good. But like, when you're just like, oh, by the way, you fucking hate Rogue and you're a fucking terrible person because of it, or I don't know how bad it got with them on your end. I didn't see the conversation.
I mean, it really didn't get that bad.
People are getting more and more like that on Twitter in general, where they make one assumption, and then because of that one assumption, they make an even bigger assumption about you, and they all of a sudden hate you. It's very love-hate right now on social media. I mean, it's been like that, but I feel like it's a little worse, so it's all good. But yeah, no, like, Nightcrawler fans have no reason to hate Rogue. What the fuck?
No. I will say also that one thing everyone should keep in mind when it comes to social media is that there are a lot of bad actors on social media who are literally there just to enrage you and just to make you angry. And it can be a lot of... And the other thing, too, is, like, a lot of people have money to pay people to say things for them. And I'm looking at you, Real Housewives of whatever else, because I also got into a conversation with somebody about that shit. We know you pay people to go off and do things. So everybody, just every interaction you have on social media, just take it with a grain of salt and don't take it too seriously, because you'll get angry about stupid shit that they're trying to get you angry about. But that's besides the point. But here's the thing. I want to end on a game, a fun little game for us.
All right, bet.
Okay, I'm going to give you a character, and then you need to tell me the X-Men team of that character, okay?
Like, who I would put, which team I put them on?
No. Like that, like the Nightcrawler thing we were talking about. So it's like, if I gave you Kurt, like, you know, Kyle, you go girl, Rogue, Trinary, right?
Oh, okay. Okay. The letter thing. Okay. I gotcha.
Yeah. Yours is Supergirl. Supergirl is yours.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to go layer by layer, because this is not going to be perfect. So X-Men characters, right?
Yes.
Obviously. Okay. I'm just making sure. So the first one. Oh, do I want to do the first? I'm going to do Shadowcat for the first one.
Okay, so that's your guess.
I don't know who the fuck starts with you. I'm going to pick the one you picked earlier.
You go, girl. Yeah, she's a great one. She's from Ecstatics. Everybody should read Ecstatics. They should do an Ecstatics.
You go, girl. I love it. I'm going to look her up after this because I really do love that.
She's blue.
P. Who the fuck starts with P?
Yeah, now I got to look. I'm also like, who starts with a P?
All right. I'm going to pick someone that's technically a villain. I'm going to pick Pyro.
Okay, that's fair. I actually came up with Penance while we were thinking of that. But Penance, yeah.
Oh, Penance. Pyro. Yeah. I would not have thought of him, but I know I have that old trading card from when I was a kid. I have the Penance card. That's why I should just pull out. I should pull out my old trading cards. Emma Frost. Done.
Perfect. R.
That's not the right thing to think of. R. Who the fuck starts with R?
Girl, we've been talking about her.
Oh, Rogue. Duh. God, I'm so tired. Okay, I do have G, and it's perfect. Gambit. They're together, guys.
Go. Look at that. Everybody's I love it.
Excited.
Yeah. I is tough. Who's I?
Iceman.
Oh, yeah, that works.
I need another R, and I'm going to remember what my R is. Hold on. I'm going to get it, guys. I'm so boring when I'm trying to figure out what the fuck I'm saying.
I have an R for you if you don't have one.
Rachel Summers. There we go.
Oh, perfect. There you go. Okay.
And L is Lockheed because he's baby. Thank you. And he does count as one full X-Men when we want him to.
I love it. I love it. Okay, that works for me. Do you want to give me a character to make up an X-Men team for?
Yes. Do Talia, as in Nocturne.
Okay, Talia. Okay, so we'll do... T will go with... I don't want to pick Trinary again, because I already picked her. So who am I going to pick for T? Who is a good T? I'm sorry, I'm looking shit up. I used up all of my letters helping. Thunderbird. What an idiot I am. Thunderbird. Okay, Thunderbird is got to be the obvious choice for T.
Amazing. Thunderbird.
Then for A, I'm going to go Archangel. Not Angel, Archangel. Let's get that blue bitch in here.
I love her.
Right? And then L, Leech, because... He most
Yay,
definitely
saved her. Oh, his baby too.
Yeah, he most definitely saved her grandpa in the most recent episode. I'll die on this hill. You're not telling me that Magneto's dead. It's just not happening. I is going to be let's do Icarus. We haven't seen him in a long time. Remember him?
Nice.
He's one of the Guthries. And then I have another A. Fuck, another A. Well, I don't want to do Angel because I did Archangel. So Abyss. Her uncle. There you go. Well, actually, not her uncle anymore because they don't relate now. But yeah. So there you go. I've already forgotten who the T was that I picked. But whatever. It doesn't matter. Who cares?
Thunderbird. How could you forget again?
I know. It's bad because it's Nocturne. So it's Thunderbird, Archangel, Leech, Icarus, and Abyss. That's my X-Men team.
Make it happen, Lisa. Make it happen.
Well, I'd rather have an X-Men team with Talia. But, I'll take what I can get at this point.
I mean, you could part her as the T. You could put Talia there.
I know, but I feel like that's a little bit of a cop-out. I don't know. Well, guys, thank you all again so much for joining us on another episode of Simply Amazing, the podcast where we talk about whatever the fuck we want to talk about. Let's be real. I was talking to somebody. I invited somebody to be a guest recently, and he was like, I don't really like talk about Nightcrawler much. And I was like, well, let me tell you. We're the podcast for you, because we'll talk about anything. We'll figure out a way to make it connect back to Nightcrawler. So.
It's true, yes. And we have just gone back to checking our podcast email and stuff. So to any of you that have messaged us the last while to come talk on the pod, there's a couple of you I reach out to let you know personally, but I haven't gone to everybody yet. So if I haven't, please know that we did get your request and we've just been back and forth on our work schedules and sickness. But as it's soon as we... can get more sound with our recording schedule, we are going to be getting you guys on here as soon as possible. So thank you guys so much for reaching out. It means so much that you guys want to come on here and just talk about Nightcrawler and X-Men and random shit with us. So just wanted to let you all know that we did get those. Don't worry.
Absolutely. We'll be in touch. We'll get you guys on. We'll figure out a time. Yeah. But Lauren, where can they find you while we're talking?
I'm everywhere at Friendly MBHDBI. That's mostly what I do. I just hang out on random social medias till something happens.
Yep, that's good. And you can find us on simplyamazingpod.com. That was all of our, that has all of our socials in it. And that has, you know, oh my God, sorry. I just looked up the horseman, Gambit's powers as a horseman. And yes, he can transform oxygen into poisonous gas. He had fart powers. Literally, he had fart.
Ew. Apocalypse. Okay,
God damn it, Apocalypse. You really got to take the sexiest X-Man, and okay, second sexiest X-Man, but I mean, Gambit's right up there, and give him fart powers. I just can't deal with this right now. anyway, come find us on Twitter, on all that shit. We're there. You know, we're mostly on Twitter. You know, I put up stuff all the time, stupid games and stupid
Lisa, you know, is going to put up an article about how fart powers are the worst to her.
If Apocalypse is looking for someone with fart powers, I'm right here, buddy. All right. I don't know what to tell you. I'm ready for you. Anyway, so yeah, so come find us, come chat with us, talk about what your powers would be if you had farts. And yeah, if you're out there and you have terrible gas powers, well, don't worry about it, because you're just as good as a horseman of Apocalypse, and you're also simply amazing.